All living beings are the owners of their actions. Including the actions of the person with the speaker back there. Could you turn it down a bit? The speaker's outside, they're okay. This is the one back there. We chant that every morning, every night. All living beings are the owners of their actions. Heir to their actions, born of their actions, whatever they do for good or for evil, to that will they fall heir. So how do you practice in compassion in a world like that? First, it's important to understand what the actions are. There are our intentions. And the shape of our life is determined not only by past intentions, things that we acted on, or things that we said, things we thought, but also the things we're doing and saying and thinking intentionally right now. We can't go back and change the past, but we can change what we're doing right now. And that's the opening for compassion. Because on the one hand, we can change our attitude towards other people, regardless of what they've done. As the Buddha said, when you encounter someone who's doing bad things to you or saying bad things, try to reflect on the good things they may have done or said in the past, and use that goodness to help motivate you to be more compassionate. And if you can't see anything good about the person at all, then you have to feel really sorry for that person, because he or she is creating a lot of bad karma. So no matter what, when you see someone acting unskillfully, you want to have compassion for them, because those actions are going to lead to their suffering. And what you want to be able to do is help that person change the way he or she acts. Now, in some cases, you see people suffering and you want to share what you have. If you have things that they don't have, that you're able to share, you're happy to share them. But that's not enough, because sometimes they'll take those things and use them unskillfully. You give a knife to somebody hoping they'll use it to cut their food, and they end up cutting somebody else's throat. You don't feel good about that afterwards. That kind of help, it was not really helpful. Which is why the Buddha said that the best way you can act for someone else's welfare, genuine welfare, is on the one hand to act in skillful ways yourself, and to advise them when you can about the joys and benefits of acting and thinking and speaking in skillful ways. Now, there are lots of times when you can't talk to people about these things. They're not receptive. So you have to wait. This is why the Buddha is talking about the kinds of intentions he wants you to develop. He doesn't just say good intentions. He says skillful intentions. That requires that you look for the right time, the right place, the right way to word things when you want to talk to people, and the right kind of material help or gift of your time. You want to be observant as to what works and what doesn't work, and to learn from past mistakes, and also learn from times when you acted skillfully in the past as a way of reinforcing your desire to continue acting skillfully. So you're dealing with your karma, and that person is dealing with his or her karma. And there's a delicate back and forth in how you interact. So that does lead to the other person's happiness. Now you look at someone else, say they're suffering right now, or they're acting in unskillful ways. And it's important that you realize that when you look at somebody, you can't see their past karma. You can see only a tiny bit of it. This is why saying that when someone is suffering, it's because of past karma. It's not harsh or inhumane. We're just seeing one part of that past karma, but there's a lot else that's there as well. In other words, each person doesn't have one karmic bank account, and we don't see their running balance. What we do see is just one of the karmic seeds that's sprouting right now. The Buddha says to think of a person's past karma as like a field filled with seeds. Some of them are ready to sprout. Some of them are going to take a long while to sprout. And then your present karma is the water that encourages some seeds and not others. You can't water everything, so you water the ones that you want to grow. And so with every person, you want to look for that person's potentials. How can you get that person to water the right seeds? In some cases where the person is suffering from an illness or severe disability, you want to focus primarily on the mental seeds. What mental potentials do they have to bring more wisdom, more alertness, more skill to their own situation right here, right now? You want to figure out the right thing to say, the right way to act around that person, to encourage that person to listen to your actions. And again, this requires that you be very careful about your own actions. This is why we meditate, so we can put the mind in a position where it can look at its own actions in fairness and not feel defeated by mistakes. You step back and you see, oh yes, this was a mistake, acting in that way or thinking in that way, speaking in that way. You have to make the resolve not to repeat that mistake. The Buddha also encourages you to go to talk it over with someone else who's also on the path, so you can learn from that person's past mistakes, get an outside perspective. And the willingness to do this requires maturity. It also requires an inner strength. And this is a lot of what the concentration provides, is the strength to be able to look at these things and not let regret or denial take over. You want to keep your eyes clear. Keep your heart solid, well nourished. So you work with the breath to create a sense of physical well-being as best you can. And you learn how to step back from your thoughts. When you see a wandering thought, you tell yourself, this thought is not useful right now. And the better you get at staying concentrated on the breath, the more you'll be able to pull yourself out of unskillful ways of thinking, the more quickly you'll be able to pull yourself out. So when you notice a distraction, drop it as quickly as you can. This is good practice. Don't get frustrated by the fact that there is a distraction. Just notice it, come back. Each time you come back, reward yourself with a really comfortable, really gratifying breath. And then say, well, I can do it for one breath, why can't I do it for two? And then how about three and four? And just keep on doing it, breathing in ways that feel refreshing, strengthening for the body, for the mind. So you learn how to maintain this sense of well-being. When you're feeling comfortable inside, it's a lot easier to feel compassion for others, even people who are doing things that are harmful to you or harmful to people you love, harmful for people that you feel concerned about, because you're coming from a position of strength. You're feeling less threatened by that person, and so you're able to handle the situation with a lot more grace and dignity. So as always, questions about how to develop compassion, how to show goodwill, how to act with other people, come back to how are you training your mind? got to start with a good foundation right here. The actions you do as you're learning how to concentrate the mind, those are a form of karma as well. You learn how to be skillful with your own breath. You learn how to be skillful with your own thoughts. And that way you provide a good example for others and are in a better position to talk to them about how they might be more skillful too. Remembering that we're all in this together. As the Buddha said, when you see someone who's suffering horribly, remind yourself you've been there sometime in some previous lifetime. And as long as you're still in the process of death and birth and re-death and rebirth, you could possibly fall into that situation again. You have no idea what your past karma is. So when you provide help, you don't do it with a sense that you're better than the other person. It's just that you happen to have this resource right now and you're happy to share it. Similarly with people who are enjoying great wealth, great power, status, the Buddha says, remind yourself, you've been there too. So there's no jealousy, no resentment. You can relate with them. See that they too are suffering in their ways and are happy to help in whatever way you can. Remember, compassion is always developed together with equanimity, because there are times when you would like to help and you can't. And you can't waste energy on those situations, because then you have less energy to apply to the situations where you generally can be of help. So do your best to protect your concentration. Use this as a basis for acting wisely in the world, acting with compassion, acting with skill. It's like learning a language. You get the basics. You have to work on the basics inside your own mind first. And then you move into the world. You try out what you've learned. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Well, you can't let yourself get discouraged. Just keep at it, keep at it. Learn from your mistakes as best you can. And after a while you get fluent. It's the same with concentration. It's the same with compassion. All these things require that you learn from your mistakes. So you can develop greater and greater skill. This is the way the Buddha himself learned. We're all in this together. And keep at it so that we can ultimately become fluent in goodwill, compassion, empathetic joy, and equanimity, and all the other good qualities. We want to make them skillful qualities. For our own true happiness and for the true happiness of everyone else.